And so we'll often employ the moxibustion and see if we can get the baby to turn before they have to go to, and and oftentimes, sometimes I've seen it happen just right after the first session. I had somebody going off to their doctor's appointment right from our appointment. And by the time she got to her doctor's appointment, the baby had already turned. So sometimes it can be really dramatic. Other times it takes a few sessions, and sometimes we'll actually give people a little bit of moxa and teach them how to do it, so they can get that consistency.
Welcome to the podcast where we get into the real and raw of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. My name is Hannah Gill. I'm a VBAC mom, doula, and birth educator, and I help women discover their options and harness their inner power to have the experiences they desire. I'm here to support you through the ebbs and flows of these transformative years so we can have open and honest conversations about the hard, the messy, and the beautiful parts of motherhood. This is the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. It is episode number 20, and I am so excited for today's guest. Our guest today is Kimberly Kelly. She's an acupuncturist and herbalist practicing in New York City. She focuses on hormonal health, fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and all things related to the cycle. And in today's episode, we dive into how acupuncture can help not only with fertility, but also concerns and issues during pregnancy and the postpartum stages. So everyone, welcome Kimberly to the show. Hi, Kimberly. Thank you for being on the show today.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for having me. Nice to be here.
All right. So if you could, we can start out by doing a brief summary of why you got into the field of work that you're in, and kind of what it entails.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm an acupuncturist and an herbalist, and I have a clinical practice here in New York City. And I do a lot of work with women who are trying to conceive or at different stages of pregnancy, and postpartum for that matter. So I originally got into Chinese medicine because when I was finishing up college, I was having a lot of pain. I was working as a bartender and I started to develop a lot of pain. And a friend of mine recommended that I go see an acupuncturist. And so I did, because I'd been to the Western doctor already and he didn't really have any solutions for me. So I was just looking for anything that could keep me working. And the acupuncture session was just really eye-opening. She asked me all kinds of questions about everything having to do with my health. I didn't totally understand what it had to do with my pain because she was asking me about my diet and my sleep and all these other things. And it was a very comprehensive session. We did acupuncture, cupping. She put me on an herbal formula. She changed my diet, all of these things. And it worked so quickly and so efficiently. And I was just so impressed with the results. And that kind of set me into a new direction. I had been sort of a humanities person in college. And in the years after college, I started exploring more of the world of medicine and alternative medicine, and eventually came back. I had been traveling a bit and I decided to come back to the States to start studying Chinese medicine. And as soon as I was in my first theory class, I was just, I knew I was home.
So that kind of leads me into my next question. What sort of like education or training are required if someone wants to get into this type of work? Because I know you said you kind of did a different route than what you were originally planning.
Yeah. It's actually quite rigorous training and education. It's about 4 years of graduate level study. And so you have to learn all of the Western, Western physiology and all the things that you would learn in the basics of your first years in a Western medical school. But then you are also laying on top of that the Chinese medicine theory and the physiology and pathophysiology according to the Chinese medicine paradigm. And then you have to learn all of the channel systems and the point systems and all the herbal medicinals and their combinations. So it's a lot of memorization and it's a lot of just sitting at a desk and memorizing things. So it's for people who really like to study. It draws people in who are just kind of nerds and they really like to spend some time studying and memorizing. But it's so interesting that it just like keeps your interest and it's fascinating enough that it never feels too rote.
So I know that a lot of my audience base is varies widely from people that are more on the Western medical side and then on, like you said, Eastern medicine and Chinese medicine. And when it comes to fertility, specifically in hormonal issues, I feel like a lot of people look at more natural solutions and more holistic solutions is kind of out there. Like, how could that even possibly work? So can you explain how acupuncture and herbal remedies as well can address these hormonal issues and help support fertility for women?
Oh, yeah. And it's actually hormonal issues and fertility, they respond exceptionally well, I think, to Chinese medicine because the endocrine system and the coming and going of the cycle, it's a very dynamic process. It's always in flux, it's always moving, it's always changing. So you don't really need very heavy interventions, just gently nudge it into correct function. And so I think, you know, you often don't need heavier handed Western interventions if you just need to rebalance the hormones, regulate the cycle a little bit. And you can even treat things that are a little bit more substantial, like, you know, smaller fibroids or issues with endometriosis, PCOS, these sorts of things. And sometimes the Western medications don't agree with people. Sometimes they can be very effective, of course, but they don't necessarily agree with everybody. And sometimes people are just looking for mild interventions. And I think anything pertaining to the cycle just responds wonderfully to Chinese medicine. It's one of the reasons I actually ended up focusing on this specialty, because I was seeing in school in these classes, like, you know, this is just such a really nice, easy, gentle way to nudge the body back into functioning. And the dynamic nature of the cycle and the hormones just makes it really receptive.
Yeah. So this is a topic that I'm so interested in because in 2018, I got off of hormonal birth control. That's the last time I ever took it. I'll never take it again for many, many reasons. But shortly after that, in 2019, at the beginning, I was diagnosed with PCOS induced by my hormonal birth control. And of course, many providers, the solution will be, well, let's get you back on birth control to help your symptoms. But that was something I didn't want to do. And I never explored the route of like acupuncture or different herbal remedies to really help with that. I just kind of dealt with it and hoped it would resolve. I did change my diet a little bit. I exercised more, those sort of things, but I didn't do anything drastic. So as far as like an acupuncture session or that type of thing, so if it's tailored towards fertility, how would that be different? So I did acupuncture for like birth prep and like helping with my breech baby and that type of thing. But when it's tailored towards fertility, how does that look different maybe than going to see when you're already pregnant?
Yeah. And so, and to speak to your point, things like PCOS or, you know, when the Western remedy might or their first suggestion might be birth control pill. Obviously, in the case of fertility, you can't be going back on the birth control pill, right? So we have to find interventions other than the birth control pill. All the more reason I think that these alternative quote unquote therapies are really useful. But when somebody comes in for a fertility consultation, we're going to go through their whole health history. We see fertility as an extension of your health. We're not just focusing on your endocrine system or your uterus or your ovaries. We're really looking, how is your body functioning as a whole? And, you know, as we know, even things like your immune system and your digestive system and your circulatory system, these all play into how fertile the body is. And so we're doing a whole body scan and evaluation and understanding where in the body are things a little bit off. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that something's gone wrong with the cycles. It could be that somebody actually has poor digestion or poor circulation. And we want to make sure that those things are squared away because certainly in Chinese medicine, I think now in Western medicine, they're understanding this as well, that those other systems actually do play in very directly to how your fertility is flourishing or if it's flourishing. So we do an evaluation, we get a whole picture of what's going on, and then we will prescribe the points and if it's appropriate, an herbal formula according to that person's unique, you know, sort of individual presentation. So three different cases might come in, and they might even be similar cases in their Western sense. Maybe they all three have PCOS or irregular cycles, but in terms of the pattern that they're manifesting, that might be different from person to person, and each three of those are going to be different acupuncture treatments, different formulas, and maybe even different dietary or lifestyle recommendations. And so the types of points that are often used to get somebody pregnant are often very different from the points you would use once somebody already is pregnant. And we're changing the treatment even more acutely from phase to phase of the cycle. So again, the type of treatment you're doing at the beginning of the cycle is different from that you're doing around ovulation. And then it changes again as you get into the luteal phase. And again, as you're, you know, more approaching the menstrual phase. And same with formulas. You might see that we're doing cycle formulas and changing your formula as you're going through the different phases.
Okay. So as far as for someone that doesn't really understand acupuncture and what all it entails, could you just like briefly describe how it works, like the mechanisms of what is being done and how your body responds to that?
Yeah, essentially, in the simplest terms, we're really working through the nervous system, right? So our brain is the master controller of all the other systems in the body. And when you use the needles are made of steel, they're made of metal. And so there is a natural conductivity in the body. And that reaction between the metal needle and the connective tissue, where the point is, that sets off conducive messaging through the nervous system, and we're going to be signaling up to the brain, and then the brain signals back down to the body. And so you can really affect any of the body systems with these, depending on which points you're using. And some people say, well, how do you know which points affect which systems? You know, it was a system that developed over thousands of years and was refined. Now that they have more modern access to, you know, things like MRIs or measuring blood flow, these sorts of more modern scanning devices, they're actually seeing, for example, if you're stimulating a point near the ankle that we would use for a number of visual problems, we'll actually see if they're in an MRI machine that the visual cortex in the brain starts to become activated when that point is stimulated. And same thing with something now that they can measure, for example, the blood flow that's coming through the uterine lining. We can see that immediately after an acupuncture session, that circulation, that local circulation is very improved, and it actually stays improved in the weeks following that session. So it's already been understood and accepted in the Chinese paradigm that these phenomena are occurring, but it's kind of fun now that we have these more modern technologies available to us to actually see in Western terms that these effects are actually taking place.
See, I love that. So I used to work in a radiology center, just like booking appointments for people for different exams and stuff. So I love that they're able to see that now, because for a lot of people that would be skeptical of acupuncture and its potential to help the body. And that's kind of like their, I guess, proof is what they would want to call it, their evidence that this is actually working. So I really love that for people that are more Western medicalized mindset. So that's great.
Yeah, it's fun because some of my patients have been, you know, Western medical doctors, and sometimes they come in with a very open mind. Other times they come in more out of desperation, but with a skeptical mind. But what I find is the ones who are the biggest skeptics, once they have experienced, you know, when they feel what is happening or they see the difference for themselves, like I came in here with a headache and I'm walking out without one, seeing is believing for them, or experiencing is believing for them. Mm-hmm. And so they just become your biggest fan after that. And they're the biggest proponents of Chinese medicine. So it's fun to see the converts.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So you mentioned when I asked about like how it would be set up for fertility. So the placement of the needles, will that change throughout like the process with one client as they progress or make improvements? Because it's probably not going to be the same every time. Is that right?
Yeah, we're taking into consideration their overall constitution. So each person is coming in with their tendencies. You know, certain people have certain tendencies, certain systems that tend to be a little bit tired or underactive. And so we're always doing certain points we might use over and over again if it pertains to their general constitutional pattern. And then on top of that, for fertility, we're definitely working with which phase of the cycle they're in. It's going to change from follicular to ovulatory to luteal. And then on top of that, you know, people come in different states every week. Some you might come in with a headache 1 week, or you're really stressed 1 week, or you hadn't slept very well 1 week. And so we're also keeping in mind, what is their state today? What do we need to address that's acutely happening with them so that they walk out of here feeling better?
Are there any fertility issues or like conditions that wouldn't be helpful to do acupuncture? So we mentioned PCOS, but are there any that are so severe that maybe acupuncture is not going to help anything?
Yes. Although a lot of things can be helped to some degree, I think if somebody has very severe, substantial scar tissue that's completely occluding the fallopian tubes, then I think that either manual work or sometimes surgery is a better option. You can sometimes, if there's a tiny block in the tube due to something like mucus or something like that, you can get those sorts of things to dissolve. But if you're talking about a very substantial scar tissue like blockage, then I think acupuncture would be helpful for that person, maybe other aspects of their fertility, but chances are it's not going to break up that kind of scar tissue. You really need the manual work or some kind of surgery.
Okay.
And same thing, more, I think it's really good for functional issues. For structural issues, it depends to what extent. So
Okay.
something like fibroids, for example, if we're seeing somebody with smaller fibroids, maybe 1, 2, 3 centimeters, then we can often get those to shrink up, sometimes disappear altogether. But when we start to see these much larger fibroids, which are not uncommon, you know, 5, 6, 7 in size, then we might get them to shrink up a little bit. But I wouldn't, if somebody's in a rush or they are really wanting to get pregnant and time is of the essence, then I'd say somebody with very large fibroids, then the surgical intervention is going to be the better intervention.
Okay. Yeah. That's always good to, especially for my listeners to know, like, okay, when is this going to be appropriate for me? When is it not going to be appropriate for me? And obviously there's other things that can go along with acupuncture, like you said, like additional, mechanical work and things like that. And you mentioned also different lifestyle changes, dietary changes that could go along with this. Do you think that those are always, obviously, if you do them all together, it's probably going to be more beneficial, but could people still see benefit if they come get acupuncture for a certain condition or a certain concern, but they're still eating a ton of processed foods like many people do in America?
Yeah. I just had this conversation recently, actually, with one of my patients because she's just in a very stressful time in her life. And so the lifestyle modifications are more difficult for her right now. And the question was sort of like, is any of this worth anything if I'm not doing everything? And the answer is like, of course, yes. Like doing something, I think, in my opinion, is much better than doing nothing. And all the more reason, like, let's give your body something to work with if it's not getting the nutrition that it needs. Now, I think that nutrition plays a very important role in fertility, and that's always going to be a part of the conversation when somebody comes in with me. But yes, I think that if, you know, we also have to meet people where they are. And sometimes life is hectic, or if, you know, they just don't have the bandwidth or the capacity to, you know, follow a particularly structured diet or take their herbs every single day, twice a day. You know, there's all these different limitations sometimes that we're running into, and you just have to work and give them what you can give them and know that it's better than doing nothing for sure.
Okay. Specifically for, I know we're primarily focusing on women's fertility here, but can acupuncture be helpful for men's fertility as well? Because I know a lot of people have fertility issues and may not realize it's on the man's end and not the woman's end.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the estimations are, you know, upwards of 30, 40% of fertility cases are actually male factor. And sometimes it actually is overlooked because in my experience, the women that tend to come see me are very proactive about their health. And sometimes they run into issues with their partners not wanting to be as proactive or just not, it's not really top of mind for their partners. And so sometimes the male end of things gets a little bit overlooked, or we'll do that next month or in a couple of months. And truthfully, the issue is male factor all along. And then we're, you know, we're seeing all this time pass by without addressing the real issue. Yes, acupuncture, Chinese medicine, herbs, supplements, all these things are super helpful if there are issues with the sperm health. We can improve a lot of the different facets, motility, even morphology, count, all these things can be improved. In reflection to your previous question, when is it not going to be as helpful? Again, with a real structural problem there, you might need a Western intervention. If someone has like a varicocele or something like this that's causing the issue, not that you can't improve it, but again, in the interest of time, I would go with a Western intervention. I would remove the varicocele and then proceed with treatment after that.
Okay. I love that you mentioned that percentage that's male factor infertility, because I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah.
I think we always default to, oh, I'm not able to conceive, so it must be my fault.
Totally.
And something wrong with my body. And that's always, I think as women, especially, it's like, we're just blaming ourselves for the issue when it could be something else. So I love that you brought up that statistic, because I did not realize it was that high. And I think more people should probably consider that as an option.
Yeah, I'd see it all the time. And it can be a little bit of a struggle because sometimes, at least in my experience with my patients' partners, they don't want to get the test run. It's, you know, it's a little bit awkward of a test to have run. You have to give a sample, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just they're resisting that. But the more you can get that done at the beginning of a treatment series, we just want to check off boxes. We don't want to, I work with a population probably that's a little bit more mature than maybe other people will see. I'm in New York and people are not even thinking about having kids until their late 30s, early 40s, And so by the time they decide they want to have kids, time kind of is of the essence. I mean, obviously age isn't the only factor contributing to your fertility, but it is one of the contributing factors. And so you don't want to ignore it. And so they're coming to me with a real urgency. And so on my end, I want to gently just start checking off boxes, whether that's Western, labs or procedures, just get the proper workup done. And then we know what we're actually working with and we can move forward a little bit more efficiently.
All right. If you're wanting to have an unmedicated birth, listen up. I've had so many women ask me how I prepared for my unmedicated VBAC. How I went from having an epidural with my first birth to giving birth completely unmedicated the second time around. And the answer is HypnoBabies. This is the exact course I took to help prepare my mind for an unmedicated birth. Because really, it comes down to your mindset about the process of birth. Your mind will give up before your body does. HypnoBabies is a full childbirth education course that has a focus on hypnosis for birth. How to be in tune with your body and your baby, and how to fully relax your mind and surrender to the process. You can enroll using my affiliate link at ebbandflowbirthco.com/hypnobabies and use code ebbandflow for 10% off. You can take ownership of your experience and have the unmedicated birth you desire. Again, go to ebbandflowbirthco.com/hypnobabies and use code ebbandflow. Okay, so my clientele, people I focus on most in like my content, is going to be VBAC or cesarean, repeat cesarean clients. So women that have had a cesarean before. And you mentioned scar tissue before being an issue. Do you think that scar tissue from a cesarean is going to be too much to help with fertility and conception again? Or do you think acupuncture would be beneficial for women that have had a cesarean before?
Yeah, when we're talking about scars that are on the surface of the skin, those we can access because we can actually get in with the needles and we thread under the scars themselves to start softening up that scar tissue, as opposed to something like internal scar tissue around the tubes where we just simply don't have access to that with our needles. And so, yes, things like scar tissue actually can be helped with acupuncture. If somebody felt like they had a really like extensive scarring or we knew from scans that there was a lot of congestion in that area, then I might recommend a combination. Like you come get your acupuncture and you also get some manual work done on the scar and we just throw everything at it. But yes, things that are on the surface of the skin are accessible with acupuncture.
Okay. And then I mentioned before, I can't remember if we were in the interview yet or if we were talking prior, but so I did acupuncture during my pregnancy when my baby was breech. So could you just talk a little bit about how that could potentially help? I know it doesn't always help flip a breech baby, but why that is thought as like a option for breech.
Yeah, we do a lot. There are two things that we do as it pertains to sort of the end of pregnancy. We'll treat all kinds of different complaints as people are going through their pregnancy. I think it's a really nice, supportive way to take care of yourself as you're going through the different stages of your pregnancy. And then as we get to the end, there are two different things. One is labor prep, and that's to actually help the body go through labor a little bit more efficiently. And they've actually done studies to show that a series of labor prep sessions before labor has shown to have slightly more efficient labors. And then with something like breech presentation, there's a technique using a topical herb that's called moxibustion. And we, instead of stimulating the point, there's a very specific point that we use for it. Instead of stimulating that point with a needle, we stimulate it with moxa. And the point is on a channel that travels up through the legs and actually travels through the whole pelvic cavity. So that's how we're accessing the area. How they initially discovered that, mox instead of needle on this point is effective, or how they even discovered this point is effective for this particular thing, I don't think we still know. It's considered, an empirical point, which means it doesn't necessarily fall into our traditional notion of the physiology, but that they saw over time that stimulating that point in the instance of breech turned the baby. And so, like you said, it doesn't work 100% of the time, but it can work often. And because it's such a gentle intervention, it's often preferred or it's used as a first intervention because, of course, the other option is a manual version. And sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable for people, or that might, there's a little bit more risk involved with a manual version. And so we'll often employ the moxibustion and see if we can get the baby to turn before they have to go to, and, you know, and oftentimes, sometimes I've seen it happen just right after the first session. I had somebody going off to their doctor's appointment right from our appointment. And by the time she got to her doctor's appointment, the baby had already turned. So sometimes it can be really dramatic. Other times it takes a few sessions, you know, and sometimes we'll actually give people a little bit of moxa and teach them how to do it so they can get that consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I did. And then I did a forward leaning inversions. So I was just upside down for a few weeks. Until I could confirm that she flipped, but she did, thankfully. And
yay.
As a VBAC mom, that was one of my main concerns, was having a breech baby. Specifically in my area, there's not many OBs. There's probably one that I interviewed that will do a vaginal breech birth. Besides, obviously, home birth midwives do as well. So I knew my options were limited. So I wanted to make sure my baby was not going to be breech. So that was very helpful for me. Whether that was the cause of her flipping or not, I don't know, but it's nice to believe it was.
You know, we'll throw a dynamic approach. So if somebody's coming to me for breech, I'm also going to send them to the chiropractor. I know that practices Webster technique, and, you know, we're just going to throw everything we can at it because we only have that couple of weeks to really make something happen.
Right.
And to that end, if somebody has been made aware, you know, if they're reaching 34, 35 weeks in their breech presentation, getting in to see your acupuncturist sooner rather than later is better simply because the baby's still smaller. There's a little bit more room there to work with. Mm-hmm. It tends to get a little bit harder to get those flips happening, you know, in the very late stages.
So what would you say are some of, you don't have to obviously get into details, but some of the biggest successes you've seen and transformations you've seen in clients through acupuncture and herbal routes and remedies?
Yeah. You know, some of the more dramatic things I've seen is something like somebody came in with a uterus just filled with fibroids, like completely, and she'd already had a myomectomy that was rather extensive. And so when she went for her, whatever it was, 6-month follow-up or one of her follow-ups and saw that she had all these tiny fibroids regrowing, she was just absolutely devastated. Now, luckily it was early enough and they were small enough that they responded very quickly to herbs. And at her follow-up scan that was, you know, barely even a month or two later, they were all but gone. And so something like that, that's very substantial that you're seeing with your own eyes. And, you know, one scan it's there and the next scan it's not. It's just, it's very, to me, it's very dramatic and very impressive. Mm-hmm. But I'd also say it's a big success for me. Any pregnancy is a success for me. You know, it's just so exciting when somebody's been struggling to fall pregnant and then we finally get that positive and we make it through the pregnancy and there's just so much joy there. And because I see a lot of people who are preparing for IVF, then, you know, I'm often getting people a few months before their IVF starts and they already know they're going to IVF. They've either been told by a doctor or they've just been trying for so long that they've already decided I'm going to go to IVF. I want to get my body in as good of shape as possible before my IVF cycle. And that's why they come in to see me. And just by virtue of getting their body healthy again and addressing all of their different systems and nourishing a body that might be a little bit deficient, we have had numerous times where the person goes in for one of their checkups and they're about to start their IVF. And when they go for that blood draw, they actually are pregnant and they don't have to go to IVF. And it actually happens more often than you would think. And it's just really exciting. They'll send me a note. You're never going to believe what happened. And I know exactly what happened because it happens all the time. And I just see that as such like a joyful surprise.
Yeah. Especially when they've been trying for a long time. I have quite a few friends and acquaintances that have just struggled either with their own infertility or their family's infertility. And I know it's so, so hard for people. And that has to be make you really see the impact of the work you're doing as well. And that has to be very fulfilling.
Yeah. And there's just this natural trajectory to it where they come in, they're already decided about the IVF. And sometimes their doctor has said, even with IVF, your chances are very small. You know, they've gotten this diagnosis from some lab work, like a low AMH or whatever it is. And they come in kind of defeated, like, well, this is my last chance shot. And, you know, I don't even know if this is going to work. I've been told my chances are almost impossible, even with this big, powerful Western medical intervention. And then as we're going along, you know, maybe after the first cycle, they just report, you know, I feel a little better. My hormones feel less out of whack. I didn't have as much PMS this month. I didn't really have period cramps this month. And then the next month they say, you know, I'm just really sleeping through the night a little bit better. And my digestion is just a little, just these, all these little tiny incremental improvements to how they feel. And you can just watch their constitution improve before your eyes and watch the hormones come into balance and all of that. And then boom, there's the pregnancy. And it's just like, yes, a healthy body is a fertile body. And sometimes it's as simple as that.
Yeah. How often or how many sessions would you say on average it generally takes to see improvement there? And not necessarily just go like sessions to get pregnant, but how many sessions to see an overall improvement in the fertility?
Yeah, anything having to do with cycles and hormones, I like to give 3 months as a really nice benchmark, because a lot of the cycles in the body pertaining to fertility, like how long it takes an egg to really come to maturation and how long it takes for sperm to be fully formed, these are all like 3 month cycles that are constantly happening in the body. And so if somebody comes to me and they have something going on and the hormones are off, the cycles are off, I always ask, give me 3 cycles to get this sorted out. Now, it doesn't mean that they won't see improvements before then. Oftentimes we start seeing improvements as soon as the first cycle. And but yes, definitely anything pertaining to egg quality or sperm quality or irregular cycles, I like 3 months or 3 cycles rather.
So someone who say I don't want to have kids anymore and I'm done having children, do you think that it's still beneficial to have acupuncture just as like maintenance for your own cycle and throughout all aspects and stages of life?
Oh yeah. I mean, hormones are constantly in flux, right? So after they've had their pregnancy, then we have to deal with that postpartum window where hormones can be really out of whack and people can actually suffer quite a bit during that window of time. And so helping their body to rebalance and get those hormones and sorted out sooner rather than later is always a goal. Sometimes it's difficult to make it in for treatment right out, you know, if you have a brand new baby at home you're taking care of. But I've seen several people just suffer with really intense anxiety postpartum and depression and these sorts of things. And so we really want to get that sorted out because they're suffering and it's not necessary. And then, you know, as women, we go through all of our different phases in life. You know, we're constantly in flux. Our hormones are just every few years are in a slightly different state. And so keeping them running as smoothly as possible through all of our different stages, I think acupuncture and herbal medicine as well can just be so helpful. And as we get into more perimenopause and menopausal years, herbs can be really helpful to handle a lot of the symptoms that come with those changes.
I wish I would have known about the benefits for postpartum, especially after my first birth was very traumatic. I had an unplanned C-section. And as a result of that, I had really bad postpartum depression, anxiety, and PTSD. And if I would have known that that was a beneficial option, I would have definitely gone that route. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I know so many women go through those processes and struggle with that postpartum. So knowing that that is an option for them to seek help and improvement in their hormones and their moods is very beneficial, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's sort of downplayed, like, oh, I'm just a new mom, I must be really stressed. Or, you know, this was a, you know, year-long process of going through this pregnancy, so of course I'm tired. You know, there's a lot of sort of poo-pooing the symptoms that they're experiencing and saying, and because their focus is on their new baby, it's not on themselves anymore. So they're really suffering quite a bit in these early months. And yeah, it's not necessary. We can do so much to help. And so you can be, you know, enjoying and be more present in those early months instead of being so distracted by your own suffering, really.
And I think it's a good option for women that may want to avoid more harsh pharmaceuticals rather than going straight to like an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety. That would give them an option to kind of help with that without going to one extreme or the other.
Yeah. And I'm not opposed to medications. I'm not one of these practitioners that's sort of like anti-Western medicine or anything like that. I'm all about whatever interventions help and do little harm. You know, if it works and it doesn't mess you up too bad, I'm all for it. And I don't care which system it's coming from. Some people respond better to the Western medications. Some people don't respond very well to the Western medications. And so just like you said, they'll often want to at least first try. You know, it's usually a combination of the acupuncture and the herbs together, because the acupuncture starts regulating the nervous system again. It rewires the nervous system very efficiently and effectively. And then the herbal formulas can go in and start nourishing the body because it's been so depleted. A lot of the anxiety, insomnia that we see postpartum is because of a depletion of the body's resources. And herbal formulas, nutrition as well, but there are a lot of herbal formulas that can just start really more quickly nourishing those deficiencies and building the constitution back up so that it's functioning correctly. Mm-hmm.
I was one of those women that did not respond well to antidepressant or anti-anxiety meds. I often thought that the symptoms I experienced from the medication were way worse than my postpartum symptoms. So I quickly was able to wean off of that, but that would have been a great alternative for me since that did not help me very well, in addition to like talk therapy and EMDR and all of that. So I love that as an option for those of us that don't respond very well to those medications. So that's
yeah, totally. Awesome. And another, it's another area, any kind of like psycho-emotional imbalances that we're seeing, it's a real, again, it's nice to combine, like join forces. Like I work with a couple of therapists and psychiatrists, and maybe they are doing, you know, whether it's therapy or even heavier interventions, you know, we can combine that with a little bit of herbal formula, or maybe they can handle a medication, but the lesser dose is better for them. And so we can come in with an herbal formula and kind of fill in the gaps. So there's all different ways to work between the two systems. You know, I'm all for it. I'm all for an integrative approach.
Yeah, I love presenting women with all their options and knowing that you can collaborate and do a bunch of different things. It doesn't have to just be all or nothing or one way or the other. So I love the integration, like you said, and the collaboration that can be done between both systems of it. So in addition to like your in-person work there in New York, how can people work with you other ways, maybe virtually or anything like that? Do you have any programs or coaching or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, for those who are currently trying to conceive, I do have a fertility program that's entirely hosted online. It's a fertility course, and there's an online community, and I take them through everything, basically everything you need to know, from nutrition to supplements to understanding what your pattern is from a Chinese medicine perspective to labs you should be having run and what your options are, both in the holistic realm and the more Western medical realm. It's a real like A to Z of fertility to take people through that process. So that's an option for people. I also do work virtually with some people if they're not in New York City immediately, then we can often do some fertility coaching or something like that virtually.
So where can people find you, like your website or your Instagram, social media, things like that?
Yeah, they're both the same. Ren Wellness is the name of my practice. That's R-E-N Wellness. And so the website is renwellness.com and my Instagram is at Ren Wellness. And from either of those locations, they can find information about the online program or about working in person or about working virtually and just read more about Chinese medicine and our approach to fertility treatment and pregnancy for that matter.
Is there anything else you'd want to add that you think would be of value to my listeners? Any top tips or advice or anything like that?
Top tips. You know, there are some little things that are very simple that seem almost like it's a non-item, but they actually can make a huge difference. And that is little tiny things like how much you're sleeping at night or how much you're exercising and the types of foods that you're eating. So I've seen people's entire cycle and periods completely change by making a single dietary modification, like reintroducing animal proteins after they had been removed from the diet. For that particular person, that was the way to go. And just getting a single extra hour. What I find, at least in New York, is that people are undersleeping and they're often over-exercising. And people often think, well, you know, exercise is good for you. It's healthy. You know, I got to keep in shape and all of this. But when it comes to fertility specifically, you know, what might be appropriate for somebody who's looking for advanced athletic performance, that is not the recommendation for somebody who's trying to conceive. So it's best to put, you know, training for the marathon aside when you're trying to get pregnant and really keeping the exercise very moderate and think more about what we think of as the yin aspect of life, because we're looking at everything in terms of yin and yang. And yang is that active doer, functioning person, and the yin is the quiet, resting, receptive. And what is pregnancy if not like a receiving of? And so we really have to nourish that part of ourselves. It's equally and sometimes even more important than the more proactive part of ourselves that we're all sort of ingrained in doing in the modern world. So I would say, yeah, little tiny, simple things that you think this can't matter too much. It actually can matter quite a bit.
I love that. Thank you. That's a great point, because something just as simple as being hydrated, people
totally
just forget about it. Like, I know all the caffeine and the coffee and everything that we're consuming. And yes, it has water in it to make it, but it's not hydrating you.
It burns up resources. In Chinese medicine, things like coffee can be very hot, and you can feel that effect. You know, you feel your heart racing when you drink a cup of coffee. It's like that's happening all over your system. So, just having like warm foods, cooked foods. I was going to mention intermittent fasting because that's very on trend right now. And a lot of people are going extended periods of time without eating in the name of intermittent fasting. But in terms of fertility, it's actually not recommended. And so I have to have that conversation a lot because at least here in New York, it's very trendy. And a lot of people are doing it for other reasons. I'm not saying it doesn't have other health reasons, but specifically in the area of fertility, I would not recommend it.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot, that women specifically when they're trying to get pregnant, like you said, the over-exercising or the intermittent fasting or the crash dieting to lose weight and be quote unquote healthy. And it may not always mean you're healthy on the inside, even though you look healthy on the outside, and that it's not the optimal state for your body to be in for fertility.
Fit and healthy are not necessarily the same thing.
No, they are not.
You can look great and trim, but you might be just so deficient and depleted on the inside. And that's not going to get you pregnant.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Kimberly. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
You just finished another episode of the Ebb and Flow Birth Show. For more, head over to ebbandflowbirthco.com or on Instagram at ebbandflowbirthco. As a reminder, this podcast is provided to you for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not a substitute for medical advice. Until next time, bye, friends.